Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, NABWIC's Blog Talk Radio. I am your host this morning, Jackie Perry with J. Perry & Associates, giving you the formula for business success, and I'm very excited to have our guest with us this morning, Dr. Ravona Mitchell, CEO and President of MTG Consultants, Inc., Good morning, Dr. Mitchell. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Jackie?
It's great. I am a little chilly. Yes, I was just saying I'm a little chilly, but I'm doing great this morning, Dr. Mitchell. I am so glad and we are so excited to have you on the show with us this morning.
I know. It's so wonderful to be here in chilly Atlanta talking to you in lovely Florida because I know the weather there's got to be nice. And thank you so much. So, Jackie, I want to know, so the weather there is wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful. And so is tax season, I imagine, for you. So one of the things we want to do is we want to go ahead and get started with our show. I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit more about you, Dr. Mitchell. But for our listening audience out there, I want to thank you for joining us on this wonderful Wednesday. And if you're like most business owners and entrepreneurs, you may just be getting around to getting all of your tax documentation and all of your records in order. Hopefully you're not taking the shoebox in, but, hey, whatever it takes. This is an important time of the year. So whether you filed your taxes already or you're just in the process or you just want to know how you could be better prepared next year, this short presentation that you're going to hear with Dr. Ravona could help you save thousands of dollars that you can take and invest back in your business. So let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Ravona Mitchell. She was born in Philadelphia but moved to West Palm Beach after about 9 years there. She lived in West Palm Beach for several years before leaving for college at Clark Atlanta University. There, she majored in accounting and received her undergraduate degree in marketing and finance and her PhD in finance. Now, Dr. Mitchell is married with 2 kids and balances family life with her entrepreneurial career as well. She is a real estate broker, but she's also CEO and president of MTG Consultants, Inc., Express Taxes, and Peach Realty, and they have offices in both Atlanta and Riviera Beach, Florida. Their business is to keep you in business and help you maintain excellent records for the health and growth of your business enterprise. So once again, that's just a short bio of Dr. Mitchell. But Dr. Mitchell, we want to once again welcome you to National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio. So, Ravona, we've got listeners on the line, and we want to just say to them that anytime during the show, and particularly during the middle portion of the show, we will give them an opportunity to press one on their telephone. That way they can raise their hand and ask a question, and we'll be glad to take your question at that time. But I'm going to go ahead and start us off by asking a few questions of my own. And the first one, Dr. Ravona, I did mention a little bit about you and your businesses, and I noticed that you do have, of course, the consulting part of your business, you have taxes, and you have realty. You're doing those particular segments, and I know that they help diversify your business. How have you been able to impact businesses by having those three entities under your umbrella?
On your taxes, then what you can do is you can go ahead and take your accounting knowledge, and that's what I do have, and apply it back to my customers who are in the process of purchasing homes or purchasing commercial or any type of real estate property. And we're able to really kind of pretty much communicate it and intertwine both the accounting aspect as well as the real estate portion together. So I think that it's important just to understand how accounting works, even in your personal lives. You know, I think that most families, we all need to do a budget. We all need to be held accountable for. And even with the small businesses, it pretty much works the same way. And my goal is to always get every deduction that the person deserves and do it the right way.
Great. Thank you. I was really curious about that, and I'm sure our listeners were as well, because we need every benefit that can come to us. So first of all, just to start us off, Dr. Mitchell, are some of the strategies used for tax planning based on how an individual have their company set up? In other words, are there certain tax advantages that apply based on the organization or the structure of the business?
I think, yes, that is true, Jackie. I think what we have to understand, number one, you need to know what type of business do you have. Do you have a sole proprietorship? Do you have a partnership? Do you have an LLC corporation? Is it an S-corp or is it a C-corp? So depending on, number one, the type of business that you do have, and let's just say hypothetical, it is a, we'll just say an LLC. If it isn't like an LLC, and this is going to stand also for your other corporations as well, the only difference with that LLC, that's a limited liability corporation, versus your 1120, and that's your S-corp or your C-corp, is that you will be filing directly with your on your personal taxes, your Schedule C. So what is a Schedule C? It's nothing more than a profit or loss directly from your business. It's going to have all of the income that you receive coming in, and then it's going to also list all of the expenses associated with that particular business. So we can say, for an example, you may have advertising or office expenses, also car expenses. This is a really, really, really important one, in that I try to encourage all of my customers to drive in their cars and make sure they have what they call a travel log. And what that travel log would do is help them to manage their miles. Say, for an example, if they go home and they go to a client, they can write those mileage off. And one way they can get a travel log is simply go into Excel. Excel has several different types of travel logs that they can use. And I would tell them, like, even on a weekly basis, to go in to mark their mileage, where it began and where it ended, or just if they know how many mileages it was, as opposed to trying to accumulate all of that at the end of the year, because now it becomes a nightmare. You're trying to remember where you went, but it's so important just to keep that travel log. Another thing I like to see them do to keep up with all their expenses is to, I usually use like the little coupon. It's like a coupon book, the little folder, and you can put various coupons in. I have them to just put in, say, for an example, if they go out to eat, they have a section that's meals, so as soon as they get back in their car, they can put that in there in the little coupon folder. That will help them as far as staying organized and having all of their records complete, because incomplete records is always appear to be one of the biggest problems that I see with a lot of small businesses. So they can keep in mind that all of the expenses, and I say keep all receipts regardless, because you never know what you're going to need. And all of those receipts, even your cell phone bill, a portion of that can be written off for business if it's not 100% used for your particular business. So if you have an LLC or a sole proprietorship, then you want to make sure that you use a Schedule C, and that's tied right back in to your personal taxes. Now, if you do have a Schedule C or if you have a 1120, and that's simply another business. So what you can do with that, the corporation, is that you is going to have some of the same deductions. Most businesses have pretty much the same deductions. You would want to put that on an 1120, and that's normally filed. That's filed like a month prior to the regular taxes. So that's important to just know how your company is set up, the type of business that it is. And depending on that business, then that determines what you're going to use as far as your accounting and as far as your taxes as well.
Great. Thank you for sharing that information with us. In addition, you mentioned car expenses, the mileage. You mentioned, of course, being able to have a log, keeping track of other business expenses that you have. What about things like equipment purchases, maybe some capital items? Are those things that, in terms of lowering your tax liability, are there other things that businesses need to keep in mind during the year when they're purchasing items that might help them lower their tax liability?
Absolutely. What you can do as well is, because normally the capital expenses that you purchase, if they're over $500, I just like to go ahead and you have a choice, of course, but mostly times I prefer to go ahead and dispense that particular item out. So that means that you have a depreciation on it, especially your really, really large items. Now, for anything that's less than $500, I just go ahead and expense it out and write it off as well. Another way that you can possibly lower your taxes as well is that when you know you're at the end of the year and you know that there may be some things that you need and to have the funds that are available, I would say go ahead and purchase it in the year that you're in the process of getting ready to do your taxes, because that's going to help you as well as far as lowering any type of expenses that you have, so that way you can reduce that tax liability. So here again, I will keep mentioning how important it is to have good records, complete records, and saving all of your receipts. Because one thing I always say, you don't mess with IRS, because if they come after you, they're coming, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with that one.
Well, that is good. And that's a lot of great information, and we've got even more to come. And I'm going to ask my co-host, Rachel. She's going to help alert us when we have questions, but there's so much to know when it comes to this area. I'm just going to keep going because, again, I'm sure this is great information for those that are listening out there. What about depreciation, Dr. Mitchell? What role does depreciation play in helping you lower your taxes?
Well, you've got to, let's just say here again, if you purchase some major equipment, and let's just say hypothetically, you bought a building, okay? Mm-hmm. You bought a building and you're in the process of doing rental property, and if you do rental property, of course, what you could do is you can write off that building itself. Now, the way you want to do that, you want to write off that you're going to set it up as rental, and you have 27.5 years to write off the depreciation on that. So depending on when you purchased it, was it the middle of the year, was it the beginning of the year, then you would want to make sure that the depreciation is accurate because you're going to keep using that depreciation. Hopefully you have that building for the next 27 and a half years. And, yes, that depreciation, which is a non-cash item, what that does is, it goes in as an expense, so therefore, of course, is going to help lower, make your total net profit a little less than what it is. So, yes, that is definitely going to help you as well. Here again, if you have, like, say, for an example, copy machines, you know, it depends on what it is that you have. You have 5 years, 7 years of depreciation that you can write off on those items. So here again, you can definitely do that as opposed to taking the whole item out and expensing it all in 1 year. So you have a few, you really do have a few choices of some things that you can do. So that's really not a major issue. But most times your accountant or your tax preparer is going to make sure that it's done right. And if not, then you may want to make sure that you have the proper tax preparer or accountant doing your work.
And thank you. And that's a very important point to mention because as business owners, we're not really expected to be the experts. There are experts, our accountants, our CPAs out there who can help guide us, who can help lead us in these areas. But it's always helpful for us to have a general business knowledge or have a general business acumen when it comes to taxes and what it means for our business. So thank you very much, Dr. Mitchell, for mentioning that as well. Right before we go to a brief commercial, I want to ask one more question, and then we're going to give our listeners an opportunity to ask questions of their own. But many business owners are still working out of their homes. Are there any basic home office deductions that businesses should consider or keep in mind?
Yes. I think it's now it's becoming more prevalent how quite a few businesses are operating out of their home. And I'm happy to finally see that IRS at one time, that always used to be a trigger for an audit for me. So a lot of people were pretty much shying away from home offices. But however, now in today's society, what we're seeing more people literally working from home. So, yes, you can get what they call a deduction from that. And one way they do that is you can look to measure, let's just say hypothetical that your space that you live in is 1,000 square feet, and let's just say 30% of that space you use specifically for your business. So what you can do, take out all of the expenses, and that's including the utilities, the water, your phone, anything that you may have, and 30% of that will be applied back to the expenses of using your home as an office. So now we're seeing a lot of that. So I think that is important here again is when you have your records, just keep really good, really, really, really good records. So I'm not seeing as many audits on that home office as I used to a long time ago, I guess over 10 or 15 years ago. But I think that's a myth even today, that home office deductions likely to trigger an audit, and that's not the case. We're not really seeing that anymore, and I think a lot has to do with the digital age itself, the fact that people, we have our computers, we have our phones, so we probably just don't need to just literally go into an office, because a lot of people are working, doing different things, internet businesses, et cetera. So that is as a result. You're seeing a lot of home office deductions can be taken, and they're not flagged like they used to be. So we appreciate that.
No, that is great.
But
got to
keep those accurate records, though. Make sure everything is legitimate. We got to have great records and just keep those good records. And that way, that's going to help anybody who's claiming their home office. So that's an important fact there.
Well, great. Well, that's an important deduction, and I'm sure people appreciate knowing how they can handle that important area. Let's go to a really quick commercial, and then we'll be back with Dr. Mitchell, who is talking to us about tax tips and strategies that can help save you money.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
All right, we're back with Dr. Ravonna Mitchell, president of MTG Consultants, Inc., and a lot of great information on tax strategies. But before we continue our interview, we do have some questions, Dr. Mitchell. So I'm going to ask our first caller, I think that's Ms. Ann McNeil, and maybe followed by Ms. Rachel, if they'll go ahead and make any comments or questions that they'd like to at this time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Mitchell, for that awesome information. I learned a lot. And my question for you this morning really centers around this industry of construction and if there are any differences or any thoughts or comments that you could just share with us regarding tax season and how we might be able to focus maybe on QuickBooks or different things that relate, oftentimes relate to all industries, but if there are any thoughts on our industry in particular. And then my second is really not a question or comment, just want to publicly thank you for being our treasurer for the National Association of Black Women in Construction all the years that you've helped us stay out of trouble. So just wanted to just mention that because we really appreciate you and what you do. Thank you.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. And my pleasure. Thank you very much. Let me just say, when we're looking at construction especially, God, the key thing is to remember you have either a W-2 wage earner or you have a 1099 miscellaneous. And I have seen where people have actually had their secretary as a 1099-er, and that's as an independent contractor. You want to make sure that you have those classifications correct, because if not, that is going to really come back and bite you. So if you have someone working for you, and when they work for you, they don't have their own business, but you have them coming in at a certain hour, and they leave at a certain time, take lunch at a certain time, chances are that that person is a W-2 wage earner. And then it's your responsibility to make sure that you pay taxes on them as far as their self-employment taxes, their local, state, and federal taxes if you do have that. So you've got to make sure how they're classified. Another thing, too, I see that some people do have businesses, but they do not have what we call an EIN number. Let me highly, highly recommend that if you're in business, I really don't care what type of business it is, you want to make sure that you have an EIN number so that way the government will recognize you as a true business. And you can apply for an EIN number by completing the form, the SS4, that SAM4. SS4 form, complete that form, and you can get that EIN number the same day if you talk to someone over the phone, and that way you are ready to have your business. Now, another thing, I'm going to go back to the 1099 for construction workers. You want to make sure that people that you bring in to work with you, that you provide them with a 1099 by the end of January, and of course you've got to complete a 1096 back to the government by the latter part, the end of February. So it's very important that you give them that 1099. So I always say, what is the true difference between a 1099 worker and a W-2 worker? In that the 1099 worker will earn money, then whatever they spend, the rest of it they have. But for a W-2 earner, they earn money. Uncle Sam takes their taxes right off, and whatever they have left, they can spend. So you just got to make sure that there are accurate records that are kept, and that is really, really important, Ms. Ann. So when we look at the construction portion of it, one of the big things was the 1099 versus the W-2. So you got to know who's an employee. You got to know who is literally considered to receive that 1099. And here again, they can use, I always say most of the people who are 1099s, you can use a software. My preference just happened to be QuickBooks, is to put all of your information in QuickBooks. And then what you do is you can separate it and determine all the monies that you had coming in and all the monies that you have going out. If you don't want to buy the software and if you don't feel comfortable with the software, you can also use Microsoft Excel. Excel is just as good. I mean, if you understand that better, that's fine, not a problem. But you have choices in how you can account and have your records in order and allow them to pretty much stay in order. Then your company has to decide, too, what type of method of accounting they're going to use. Is it the accrual method or if it's the cash method? So there again, that's going to be one of the choices. And then if they have various types of costs that's involved, understanding what the general administrative costs are going to be. If they have, especially when it comes to the various job costs for a particular job, you want to separate that from the other jobs. So you can, they have one job going, you have it actually in one area where you can see how much money you made, and then you may have another job, we'll say job B, and you can actually keep your accounting in that line as well. So that way you can determine how much money you made on that particular job. You can also allocate for your indirect costs and your direct costs. And, of course, you're going to have some expenses that will not change, and then you're going to have some expenses that will change. So having the knowledge and understanding the difference between even the indirect labor versus your direct labor, and the same thing for your materials, supplies, et cetera. So, yeah, Ms. Ann, you're absolutely correct. You know, you've got to just be here again, be held accountable, but more importantly, make sure that those records are in order, and make sure that you can track all of them. So here again, I always say I would definitely try to help you get every deduction you deserve, but I would certainly help you the right way because my name is out there.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for answering that question. And before we end, I want you to tell our listeners how they can contact you. And after that, if you could tell us, you mentioned it, how important it is to file taxes and to keep records, a lot of great things. Tell us what the consequences of not filing taxes or even filing taxes late. What are consequences, if any? But first, tell us, how can we contact you?
You can contact me, drmitch@bellsouth.net. Again, that's drmitch@bellsouth.net. And you can also, the consequences of filing late. Has anyone ever played Monopoly? Cash Flow game. There's a cash flow game that is out there that Robert Kiyosaki had. And on that game, he had on there, when you're playing the game, that you have a tax liability, and that tax liability means that if anything should happen, if you don't do the right thing, you lose all your money. That's pretty much what could end up happening. So you got to make sure that you don't get in a position where you're losing everything that you have, and IRS can have, they do have the right to come and levy your property, your assets, your home, whatever it is that you may have, your business. So you got to be careful with people that all the time. And it's so easy to go in and file an extension if you know that you can't actually complete your taxes on time. You can file an extension. And this year we get an extra 3 days. The taxes are not due on April the 15th this year. They're due on April the 18th. And I think it's because of some holiday that falls on a Friday. So we do have a break there. So keep in mind that they're actually literally due on April the 18th. So you have 6 months. If you can't get it in, you still have 6 months. You have up until October, I think, is the 17th or whenever, to complete everything. So it's a matter of just doing the right thing. Again, don't mess with IRS.
Well, hey, those are good words to end on, Dr. Rivolta. We'll have to have you back for part two because we couldn't do it all in 30 minutes, and this has been really, really great. But I want to thank you today for being our special guest, and I know that our listeners have gotten lots of great information, a lot of great tips. I know I have. So once again, I want to thank you for being on the show, and, hey, wishing you well this tax season, and thank you for all the great information that you've shared with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jackie, and thanks again for having me on, and to you and everyone else and the listeners, have a wonderful day. Make this the best day of your life.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful
Wednesday. This concludes
Wednesday.
Our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.